All right. Hello, 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 and welcome to the College of Creation. My name is Dan.
And my name is Michael.
And we are Dungeons & Dragons DMs who like to homebrew items, spells, creatures, and features for D&D. And this is a show where we make brand new homebrew every single week based on prompts that we get from our listeners. We have made all manner of things. We have made 59 things as of this episode, which is so many. What a time. And this week, we have been tasked with making something Pokemon. Again, 59 creations, three of which have been Pokemon themed now. The ratio is intense.
The fact that it happened three times is pretty crazy.
It is.
Wouldn't mind if it happened more, though. So keep them coming.
We made some Pokemon into D&D monsters, and then we did that again a second time around. And at that point, I also made a subclass based on a Pokemon trainer.
You did.
And we have now been asked to make not subclasses based around Pokemon trainers, but subclasses based on Pokemon themselves.
If I may, skipping back to that other Pokemon episode, which was pretty recent, actually.
Yeah, that was like four episodes ago or something. That was very recent.
I said in that episode that it may have been recency bias, but I thought that subclass was my favorite thing that you made, that you have made in the show. Looking back on it now, because I did revisit everything that we've made just to make sure that I didn't overlap Pokemon. I wanted to at least go in a different direction. I still love it so much. I think it still is my favorite thing you've made on the show.
Oh, wow. That is quite incredible. I'm very glad to hear that. I also enjoy that
one. If you'd like to listen to that, you can go back and listen to episode 51. That was episode 51. Take a listen to that if you want to see Dan's Pokemon trainer, Ranger, Beastmaster rework, improvement, upgrade, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's more of a Beastmaster that hones in specifically on the abilities of the beast itself rather than the Beastmaster as listed in the book really is kind of in both camps. It gives you a little bit of stuff around your Hunter's Mark, and it gives your beast a little bit related to your Hunter's Mark mostly and some other things that you do. What I made was pretty much exclusively like you don't get almost anything from your subclass features. Your beast does. So that's, you know, I had a fun time making that one, though. I also had a fun time thinking about this one. I don't know if I can say that I had a fun time making it, but I had a very fun time thinking about all of the different ideas that I might have made.
I agree.
Yeah.
I have a long, long list of ideas that either I was thinking about or actively tried to make and gave up on.
Shall we get into the creations for today?
I think so. I have a lot to talk about.
Great, me too.
This was such a complex week.
It sure was.
Yeah, in so many different ways, not necessarily all bad ways, but there were a lot of roadblocks that I did not anticipate. I thought that it would be much easier than it was, and it ended up being an interesting and quite curved road to the finish this week.
Yeah. So what I ended up doing instead was sort of pivoting to a little bit more of a generalized idea, a little bit more of an idea around, you know, the general vibe of a specific Pokemon. And there was one that stuck out to me that specifically I think can interact very fun with an existing class structure and kind of, it takes the spirit of the Pokemon. You're not trying to be that Pokemon, but you're taking what that Pokemon does and looping it into the subclass features. So go ahead and open your document. I call this the Druid subclass Circle of Transformation.
Yeah. This is fantastic.
We got a nice little ditto hang out on the side of this document.
Fantastic.
It's fairly simple and straightforward, but I think it actually creates what I hope is actually a pretty viable concept for a druid. It's a little bit of a different druid.
And notably, we did not choose the same Pokemon.
Oh, good.
I was gonna lose my mind if we chose the same Pokemon. We did, however, choose the same class.
Okay.
So I knew.
Fascinating.
I knew that something. we were going to find some similarity somewhere. We both did druids.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, that's not bad. No.
Continue. That's an acceptable win. Yeah.
So, this is the druid subclass Circle of Transformation. None of us are who we appear to be. Every outfit we wear, every behavior we practice, every skill we attain is just another piece of the costume, the facade that we present to one another. How mundane it is to be only one thing. She should embrace change. The natural world is in constant flux. Why not take a page from her book? If you can see it, you can be it. Or at least, you can. Perhaps you are not of this world, or perhaps you have been subject to some great shifting in yourself, but you now find that you can see through the disguises, and you can make your own better than anyone else. So, you gain the ability, first of all, to transform. The only thing that Ditto can do is transform. You can expend a use of your wild shape to change your form to mimic the appearance of a creature you can see within 120 feet of you rather than turning into a beast form. When you transform in this manner, you can be up to one size smaller or larger, and you can cast spells, as long as the form you choose would be able to carry out any verbal or somatic components. This form is not illusory, and any check to determine your true nature is made with disadvantage. All other wild shape rules apply as normal. So you can use your wild shape to transform into other things that you can see. It's great for disguising yourself. Mm-hmm. It's also nice for turning into an entirely different creature type. It felt a little wordy already out of the gate, so I might reword it and actually expand on it a little bit, mm-hmm. because I do want to adjust a couple of the other wild shape rules, specifically related to creature type and things like that. I think you should show up as the creature type that you are turning into and that sort of thing.
I agree with that.
And then also at level 3, we get transformative spells. So when you see a non-druid spell being cast by another creature that is of a level for which you have spell slots, you can choose to expend a use of your wild shape to add that spell to your spell list. When you prepare spells at the end of a long rest, you can prepare a number of these non-druid spells up to your wisdom modifier each day. So you should kind of like learn how to mimic other people. I think we talked about a similar sort of mechanic when you actually made your version of paintbrush guy. Smeargle, yes.
Yeah.
Smeargle. When you made your version of Smeargle, which is that, you know, he's got kind of this moveset that like is adjusted by the things other people around do. So I also tried to match that energy a little bit. So this is kind of the expanded spells option for this druid, is that you just get to do a couple more things. You have to see it, and it has to be of a level that you can cast. So, you know, if you're underneath, if you're level 3 or something like that, and you see somebody cast, like, Finger of Death, you can't just, like, have that one
right.
too soon. But other things totally within your capability to add to your spell list and just keep growing or wealth of options.
And these spells are permanent?
Yes, they get added to your specific spell list.
I love that. What a cool thing. Yeah.
You just get more options as you explore the world and as you see things. Level 6, you get flexible form. While you are transformed into your beast form or into your transform form, your reach extends by 5 feet. And can move through a space as narrow as 1 inch without expending extra movement to do so.
Nice.
Just, you know, Ditto is a little bit of a goop.
Yeah.
So gets to move through places. Level 10, you get the perfected facade. You no longer need to expend a use of wild shape when you use your transform feature to mimic a humanoid or a creature that shares your creature type.
Ooh,
in the case you're not a humanoid. Yeah. And then at level 14, finally, you get Mimic. On your turn, you can replace either your bonus action or action with a single action taken by another creature you can see with 60 feet of you. I should make that super clear. You're replacing the action or the bonus action with an action or a bonus action, respectively.
Sure.
But you can replace that action with an action taken by another creature you can see within 60 feet of you. Since the end of your last turn, using your own statistics. If that action is a spell, you must expend a spell slot of the correct level, and the spell uses your druid spellcasting ability.
That's very cool.
So you just, you know, are using the mimic move from Pokemon is all you're really doing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this a lot. Mine also uses the expenditure of wild shape, but this is such a perfect fit. It's the perfect fit for a druid. And you're right. This is a very different druid. It really is dependent on seeing other things that have actions that you want to use. Mm-hmm. So much of it comes from your surroundings, which is not typically how druids operate. But I like that this is how it's set up because it is so unique. All of the features are really easy to understand. Sometimes druid features are kind of complex, maybe needlessly sometimes. And this is very straightforward in the best way. Super accessible. I think this is one of those subclasses that can be used for any style of play, any level of player. A brand new player should absolutely play this druid. And then a veteran player could have tons of fun playing this druid, seeking out other creatures to mimic and transform into. This is the druid for everybody, and I really like it a lot. Nice work.
Thanks. I enjoyed coming up with the idea of a druid that would function more, you know, in that space that I think is traditionally the realm of bards and rogues and occasionally like illusionist wizards around disguising yourself, maybe infiltrating more regularly, maybe, you know, kind of functioning with an aspect of charisma to that side of things.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I think that this druid would definitely be able to kind of function in those sorts of games that function more around political intrigue or that sort of thing.
Oh, for sure.
Just a different way than maybe a traditional druid would. So it might not really conform to the classical stylings of druids, but I feel like it was a kind of a cool thing to land on this idea that there isn't really an option for druids to have the ability to transform into anything other than beasts. And often we think about that, I think, in terms of we want them to be able to turn into things that are even more arcane and strange.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really think about the other side, which is that, like, why can't a druid turn into a different person sometimes?
Right.
Who knows? You know, so I think there are a lot of possibilities here. It's not incredibly Pokemon themed, I would say. I mostly went vibes based. I mostly went like, what are the things that this Pokemon could do, and how can I make a subclass that can do those same things?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the direction that I took here. And you said you have a lot of things to talk about, so I will cede the floor to you.
I do.
Discuss as needed.
The thing that I came up with, I really wanted to focus on lore and something that connects Pokemon together. So I ended up going with two separate Pokemon
mm-hmm.
that are indelibly linked based on a fan theory.
Interesting.
Are you familiar with the theory that Gengar is just the shadow version of Clefable?
No, I am not aware of this. What?
So there's a fan theory that's been circulating for years, long, long, long time, because Clefable and Gengar have the same basic body shape, generally the same vibe, the yin to the yang, you would say, Clefable to Gengar. And there are a lot of things that say Gengar is just like a Clefable that has passed on. And remains as a shadow tethered to other Clefable. It's a very grim theory, but very cool.
Huh.
And so I went with that. I tried to explore this. So if you would, please, open your document. I call this the Circle of Obscurity.
Nice.
And this is based on Gengar and Clefable being the same creature.
Huh. I've got to read into this.
Yeah, it's wild. To the point where if you search art for Gengar or Clefable alone, half of the artwork that pops up on Google is the two of them together.
Wild.
Which is so weird. Yeah, it's so crazy. But this is the Circle of Obscurity.
Great.
Druids within the Circle of Obscurity hail from a point between realms. Pieces of them are tethered to the Feywild, soaking up the magic of the natural world, while they are also indelibly linked to the Underdark. They are said to be the mortal embodiment of a dazzling moon, which is equal parts shimmering wonder and looming shadow. Each member of this circle lives half of their life in whimsy and wonder, but is completed by the burden of a living shadow. These powerful and silent creatures that are connected to them are referred to as grim passengers, and while their power is useful, their energy is dark and unpredictable. As you age, you must choose when and whether to let your passenger in or walk a half-complete path of ignorance.
Interesting.
What choice are you going to make? Are you going to stay Clefable all the time, or are you going to let Gengar creep in and help you in your journey through his darkness? At level 3, there are 3 features, because 2 of them are kind of 2 sides of the same coin. At level 3, we have the Moonlit Charm feature. You are a creature rooted in wondrous and wild origin. Your creature type is now Fey, and you are immune to the Charmed condition. In addition, when you reach a druid level specified in the Moonlit Spells table below, you thereafter always have the listed spells prepared. So this is the Moonlit Spells table. At 3rd level, you have Bless, Crown of Madness, Dancing Lights, Magic Mouth, and Silvery Barbs prepared. At 5th level, Aura of Vitality and Magic Circle. At 7th level, Charm Monster and Hallucinatory Terrain. And at 9th level, Dominate Person and Synaptic Static. Also at level 3, we have the Grim Passenger feature. You are forever connected to your Grim Passenger, who you can transform into once per long rest as a magic action. This change lasts until you use a bonus action to change back, or you complete a long rest. You can also expend 1 use of your wild shape to transform rather than assuming a beast form. While in your grim form, you are immune to the frightened condition instead of charmed. Your creature type is undead, and you use the following grim spells table instead of the moonlit spells. So when you transform, you can only have these specific sets of spells, choosing one or the other.
I like it.
At 3rd level, under the grim form, you gain Cause Fear, Hex, Phantasmal Force, Sleep, and Toll the Dead. At 5th level, Bestow Curse and Spirit Shroud. At 7th level, Confusion and Shadow of Moil. And at 9th level, Dream and Negative Energy Flood. As an optional rule, if you want to use the College of Creation lore, you can replace necrotic damage in any of these spells with shadow damage, if you wish.
This is a great, just as a quick note, I know, you know, that sort of like, you know, flipping the setting situation kind of does exist or has existed within bard subclasses, or not bard subclasses, druid subclasses before. But I do think this is a very cool manifestation of it, right? It's very light and dark sort of thing, which I think is very cool and fits very nicely into that space.
Thank you. Also at level 3, this is kind of like the second level 3 feature that you get. This is called Confusing Shroud. Your grim passenger helps to conceal you from others. You constantly emit an emanation out to 200 feet. To creatures of your choice outside the emanation, you appear to have the invisible condition. As you gain druid levels, the radius of your shroud decreases according to the table below. So as you level up as a druid, it gets closer and closer into you, so more and more creatures around you cannot see you.
Interesting. And that's just like always, or is that when you're in the transformed state, or
always?
Oh wow.
Of your choice. So you can turn it off whenever you want. But as you level up, it gets smaller and smaller. So like at 5th level you're at 160, 7th level you're at 120, 9th level at 90. 11th level, these go by the levels of druid where you learn a new level of spell. So just the odd levels. But moving up from 200 all the way down to 10 at 17th level.
That's pretty wild.
You can just be invisible to whoever you want to be invisible to. You don't get a lot of active abilities with this. Mm-hmm. This is really a subclass centered around concealment, non-AC related defensive sure. abilities. At level 6, we have the Curls and Barbs feature. The nature of your existence can impart effects on others when they touch you. Regardless of your current form, you know the encoded thoughts cantrip, and you also gain the following abilities, which are dependent on your current form. So if you are in moonlit form, you gain the Magic Guard feature. When you're hit with a melee attack, you can use a reaction to roll a d100. On a result of 91 or higher, the attack does not deal any damage to you. In your grim form, when you're hit by a melee attack, you can use your reaction to roll a d100. Same deal. On a result of 91 or higher, your attacker gains the unconscious condition until the end of your next turn. So if they touch you, you put them to sleep. At level 10, this is the Mystic Traveler feature. You and your grim passenger can work in tandem to increase your mobility and evasiveness. Regardless of your current form, you always have the Protection from Evil and Good spell prepared. It does not count against the druid spells known, and you can cast it without material components. Also, you gain the following abilities, which are, again, dependent on your current form. If you are in your moonlit form, you gain the Cosmic Power feature. You gain a fly speed equal to your speed. And while flying, you're immune to any effect that would ground you against your will other than falling unconscious.
Cool.
And in your grim form, you gain the Shadow Sneak feature. You gain a burrow speed equal to your speed. And while burrowed, you gain Tremor Sense out to 30 feet. Nice and simple. And at level 14, you gain the Delightmare feature. Both you and your grim passenger can capitalize on the effect you have on other creatures. You can use each of the following features once, regaining each use after completing a long rest. If you're in your moonlight form, you can use the Disarming Voice feature. As an action, you can choose a creature you can see within 60 feet. The creature must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or become charmed by you for 8 hours. The charmed creature can't harm up to 5 additional creatures of your choosing for the duration until the charm is removed. So typically charming, whoever is charmed by you cannot harm you. This gives a blanket charm for you and your party. If you or any of the additional creatures chosen attack or harm the charmed creature, the charm is broken. In your grim form, you gain the Dream Eater feature. As an action, you can choose a creature you can see within 60 feet. The creature must succeed on a wisdom save or become unconscious for a number of minutes equal to your wisdom modifier. While the creature is unconscious, any damage you deal to it is automatically psychic damage, and each time you deal damage to it, you regain hit points equal to half the damage dealt, rounded down. And again, optional rule, if you don't want to use psychic, you can use shadow damage
cool.
in its place. Your call.
Yeah, this is this is cool.
Oh, thank you.
I really do enjoy the different features that are granted per like which form you are in, and really tying that into the wild shape to serves as kind of the exact right mechanic to lean into this for sure.
Yeah, I think anything other than a druid would not.
It's tough. I think you're right, and I totally understand where you were kind of approaching this and how it was challenging to come up with a base class. The mechanics or the concept here, I think it would be hard to find another class that would lend itself quite as well here. Maybe there's an argument to be made for Warlock. Not quite there, I think.
Yeah, because I needed something with more potential uses past one per long rest. And I didn't want... You never want to take Warlock
right.
spell slots. Like, nobody's going to give up their 2 spell slots to do this. I am disappointed at the 2024 Archdruid Capstone. It's no longer unlimited wild shapes. So I did consider Sorcerer for a second and with the use of Sorcery Points. I couldn't really land how many Sorcery Points this would be worth, because it certainly is not one. But like, what arbitrary number of sorcery points constitutes a change from one form to the next.
I'm also not against, obviously I haven't run a game for a 2025 level 20 druid or a 2024 level 20 druid. But I feel like just as a blanket thing, I would be willing to take the nature magician feature and just extend it to the other side as well, kind of like sorcery points, where nature magician technically allows you only to convert your uses of wild shape into spell slots. So you convert a single use of wild shape into two spell levels. I would say just allow your druids to do it the other way around too. You know, expend a level 2 or a level 4 spell slot and get two uses back. Every use that you want to get back of wild shape is worth a level 2 spell slot or two levels worth of spell slots.
Yeah, I agree. Either direction makes sense.
I don't think that's broken in any way. I feel like a lot of druids I would play with would want more uses of wild shape, especially if they could burn some of their lower level spell slots to do so.
I agree. But that is the Circle of Obscurity. That's what I ended up with this week.
It's a cool concept. We like the two sides of the same coin bit, and how each, you know, each section feels like it's, you know, unique to the form that you are in, but also fills the similar, mechanical role, you know, like the attack not dealing damage obviously is very strictly defensive, but the attacker gaining the unconscious condition is kind of defensive by a different direction a little bit.
Right. Right.
But they both still kind of do the same thing. Neither of them are like strictly offensive. Similarly, right. You get either the fly speed, and immunity to being pulled to the ground, or you get a burrow speed and, the ability to kind of, sense creatures around you. Those also fit into that same sort of mechanical space of, you know, movement and control over the battlefield kind of stuff. So I think it is well designed for both of those sides to feel very much like they're equal. Like neither of the forms is going to feel like the good one, you know?
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think that there are things that could be tweaked here. I think the radius of the confusing shroud probably needs some testing and editing. All in all, I think it's rather balanced, at least with itself, if not the rest of the game.
Yeah, I think that's to be sure. You know, there are so many, I think, classes or subclasses that, like, they have sort of their limited use thing or their, like, activation thing that your subclass is kind of not particularly useful without activating this thing. I think in this case you have really avoided that issue, and you know, it yet to be seen if there is a different issue there at play on the other side of that, but I think you've made neither of them feel better than the other, so you're still going to be useful and have plenty to do on the battlefield in and out of combat in either form. I don't know if that presents a problem where like you're too useful in general, but I don't think so.
Right.
You know, especially because druid is full caster. A lot of these are, you know, obviously level 6 is really strictly combat and uses a reaction and is not guaranteed. So, you know, you're getting a lot more of your regular utility from spells. So I think it's pretty decently balanced, personally. The only thing that I think might be a little out there is the confusing shroud.
Yeah.
Because it does feel a little crazy to me, but mostly probably because I'm thinking, like, man, if anybody is, like, trying to snipe you from, like, a long, faraway tower, and they have a ballista that has a range that's kind of crazy, and they just can't see you, it's not game-breaking, but it is kind of wild.
Yeah, really, I just left that in there because I like the idea of an emanation that shrinks as you get more powerful. I don't think that exists.
I think the concept is really cool. I don't know how I would like change it, because I think the concept is really cool.
Yeah,
to like kind of have this shrinking thing of like kind of optional obscurity in order to just sort of like hide and be unnoticed, you know? Yeah, I don't know how exactly to fix it, but I think, cause I think it's really cool. So, I wouldn't take it out entirely, but it does, I'm sure there are use cases that I'm not thinking of right now that would be a little bonkers.
I definitely want to play test it. I would love to have this in a short-term game where I just kind of incrementally level my players.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see how it works.
Well, we'll have to do it again. We'll put it back in the prompt hopper for next time.
But for now, yes, for now, let's roll to see what we're going to make next week.
Let's do it. I have our big homebrew table pulled up. We've got a D20 table filled with prompts that we have gotten from our listeners, our community. So many excellent ideas in here, and we can't wait to make all of them. If you've got a prompt you would like to hear us make on the show, shoot us an email over here at collegeofcreationpod@gmail.com. Or if you want to come and chat with us, say hello, you can come on over to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/collegeofcreationpod. You can join there at the free tier and see all of the creations that we have made, and hit us up there. And if you decide you want to jump on, be a patron for just the $5 tier, you get access to all the revisions that we might make, creation compendium, bonus episodes, weird things. Michael and I recently drafted rangers from across the fictional universes, and talked about the characters that we think are rangers.
Yeah, that was a good episode. I enjoyed all of the non-obvious options that we pulled.
There's some really good ones in there. So if you want to check that out, come on over to the Patreon. We'd love to see you there. Michael.
Yes.
What are we making next time?
Dan, that is an 11.
An 11? Ooh, this is going to be an interesting one. From Gabe Daniels 2 on TikTok. Improve on something you've made outside of the show.
What a cool prompt. Right when that came
out. I like this a lot.
Right when I saw that. This is from TikTok on one of my posts. Right when I saw that, I think I actually gasped. I was like, I can't believe that we haven't done this yet. And then my second thought was, I have no idea what I'm going to choose out of my back catalog of things that I've made to improve upon, because there's certainly a plethora of subclasses that have not been updated for 2024. I have a bunch of items and weapons that I've made for my games over the years that I'd love to take a second look at. Great prompt.
Honestly, a million things that I've probably been meaning to go back to.
Also,
and just
that,
like haven't gotten the time. So like, thanks, Gabe Daniels, too. The perfect opportunity to go back through my back catalog and find something that I'm like, oh, this thing, I've been meaning to touch this up. I love that. Great. I'm thrilled. I can't wait to
Fantastic.
See what you come with, because I know you've got a lot of heat in that hopper.
Yeah, both of us. We just from the things that we've talked about, just as kind of like icebreakers before we get into prompts and things like that. We've talked about so many things that are in our games that we've made. I don't know if we've ever discussed the minutia of the mechanics of those things, and that will be very cool to see. I'd also be interested, I think maybe I'll just kind of like pitch both versions, like how something was when I used it in the game and what it's like now, to see the actual change from when it was used to what I would do with it currently.
Yeah, I think that's super cool. That's a great idea. I cannot wait. That should be a really, really fun time. We hope also looking forward to that. Should be a really lovely way to spend episode 60.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Incredible.
60 episodes. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Amazing. Thanks for being here for just this episode or for the whole time. However long you've been here, we're happy you're here. And we will talk to you next time. Michael, do you have anything to say to the people before we say goodbye?
Yeah, sure. I have something to say to the people before we say goodbye. I think this is exactly the same thing that I said our first Pokemon episode, but it cannot be repeated enough. If there's something that you like Pokemon, and you're an adult, and other people think it's dumb, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Keep liking the things that you enjoy. Keep playing the games that you like. It doesn't matter if somebody else thinks it's childish. Just keep doing it. If it makes you happy, just keep doing it.
Here's the cool thing. Obviously, you have a kid.
I do.
Eventually, yeah. Kids. Mm-hmm. And I run D&D regularly for kids at the library. And these kids need someone to run D&D for them. You know, they need someone who's not them, who's an adult, who's validating their experience to play D&D with them, to experience creativity with them, and also to like listen to and vibe with their references. So they hear that I enjoy Pokemon. These kids love that. These kids are really into me like Pokemon. They love Adventure Time, and they like that, you know, people my age also have for many, many years enjoyed and been a part of the fandom of Adventure Time. Connections across generations. This is a good thing. But not only for that, just do it because you like it.
Yeah.
Because you enjoy it. And that's good too.
It's great and healthy to do things for yourself that you truly enjoy. It's healthy. It contributes to filling your own bucket. So please do that.
Couldn't agree more. Michael, always a pleasure to create with you, to pod with you, to see what you create. Until next time, I will be looking forward to what you make for the next show. And to our listeners, we will speak to you very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.